You know, as we come to this moment in our service and we look to the Word of the Lord, I want to speak to you for just a few moments, and then I'm asking Pastor Eric and Natalie to join me and Pam, and we're going to speak to you all together here today. But if you were with us 2 weeks ago, you recall that I began a three-part series called The Architect. And the plan was that we would have three messages called The Architect, The Plan, and The Builder, really designed around how God builds His church, designed around how God builds everything. And we started with the concept that the Scripture tells us that God is the architect of all things. The architect is the one who sees it in his mind's eye, and then he puts a plan together, and then it is built. And of course, we know that God built everything. In fact, there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter number 3 and verse 4, which says, "Every house has a builder, but the one who builds everything is God." And I'm going to speak to you about the fact that God is building His church His way with His plan. When you think of those three steps, the architect, the plan, the builder, think of creation. The architect, the guy who sees it in his mind's eye before a plan is ever put into place or executed, he can see it. And we know that the Bible says that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. He spoke it into existence. God could see it all. All of the beautiful things that exist around us today, God saw it before it ever existed. And I think sometimes when you think of God doing that, it's easy to miss the fact that God also had a plan in place. When you build a house, or like our new church that was just built, when it was built, we had a large set of blueprints. And I don't know that God had a blueprint, but God did have a plan that He followed. When you think of creation, the Bible tells us on day one, He created certain things, day two, certain things, day three, four, five, six. Even day seven, God's plan was a day of rest, a Sabbath. So it shows us very clearly that God had a plan. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me, for our lives. He's got a plan for our church. Back on March the 15th, the last Sunday that we assembled together, I announced in that first message, The Architect, that I believed it was God's timing for us to have a transition in leadership in our church and for Pastor Eric to become the lead pastor. Our plan was to, on this day, March 29th, have an installation service where we prayed over them and blessed them in the name of the Lord. We will still do that when we come back together in just a few weeks. And so we will announce that, be listening for when that's going to be. But we're going right ahead with that plan of him becoming the lead pastor. And I shared with the church then the details of it. If you have not listened to that service, you might want to go back onto the website and listen to it if you're part of our church family, so you get a broader picture of what I'm talking about. We believe this is fully in the plan of God. Not just Pam and I, but we also have a board of elders, of overseers in our church, and in 100% agreement, they agree with this, that it is the right time that Pastor Eric should be that person. For you see, when we moved, it was a big move physically for our church. But it wasn't just a move for the next year or two or three or five. It's for the next 5, 10, 15, 20. And I felt the Lord showed me His plan was that when we made that move, that we should have a next generation leader that could, as God wills, lead the next 15, 20, 25 years. I know one thing in my heart. I have an assurance that God has great plans for the future of Victory City Church, and the best days are in front of us. And I want you to be encouraged in this very fact today, that God saw it all from the beginning. We didn't, but step by step, as we follow the plan of God, He leads us from one victory to the next. Think with me now of that last step, the builder. Who is the builder of the church? And I stated on March the 15th that the church of Jesus Christ is not in the frail hands of a human, not in the hands of a committee. It's in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and gave Himself for it. The Bible says He is the head of all things to the church. He is the builder. He builds His church. He uses us as the instruments of it, but it's through His power that He builds His church. Jesus put it this way. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. I, Jesus, will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So it's always been Jesus building the church. It is Jesus building the church, and it will be He who continues to use us and build the church through His power and to His glory. As you think about that statement, I want to close with one concept before they join me, and that is this. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So I guess hell has gates, even if it is metaphorically. You see, gates in biblical times were very significant because cities were suspect to attack of enemies. And to protect themselves, they would build walls around their cities. Jericho is an example. We know that when God gave the victory to the Israelites over Jericho, the Bible says the walls of Jericho fell down flat. Those were walls of defense. To complete the walls of defense, there had to be gates by which the people could go out and could come in. And so technically, the gates completed their defense system. Jesus said the gates of hell. So evidently, He was implying that hell would have a defense. You don't need a defense unless there's an offense somewhere. It tells me that it is the church of Jesus Christ that is to be on the offense, moving forward. Picture it just like a football game. We're advancing the ball down the field. The defense tries to stop it. But Jesus said, whatever measures Satan takes to stop the church, it will not succeed. He said, I will build my church, and the gates, the defenses of hell, cannot prevail against us. And my friend, with what we're going through this time right now here in America and around the world, the pandemic, I believe with all of my heart, I've said it many times the last couple of weeks, I believe the Church of Jesus Christ will come back stronger than ever. It's not down, it's not defeated, it's not dead, it's alive and well. I was telling Pastor Eric this week, a long time ago, I came across an article. There was an ad in a New Jersey newspaper in the classified ads. And the ad said these words, for sale, beautiful tombstone and cross, $650. And then underneath in smaller print, it said, didn't die, don't need it. Evidently, some guy that they thought was going to die fooled them, and he lived, to put his own ad in the paper and sell his own tombstone. Didn't die, don't need it. I declare that today, the Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well, for it is He who builds His church. Finally, the concept of gates would imply that this would be the place in a city in Bible days. If there was war or conflict, the city elders would meet there and scheme and plot their strategy for warfare. So the gates implied a place where schemes and plots were put together to stop an opponent. Again, Jesus said the gates of hell. So evidently, Satan does have schemes, has plots and plans, but they will not prevail. In fact, Paul said, he called it the wiles of the devil in Ephesians 6, to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that word means schemes and plans. So I say to you today, friend, no matter what you're experiencing, any scheme, plot, plan Satan may have against you, it will not prevail. Because Jesus is still in charge. He's in charge in the world today. He's the builder. And I want to close by saying that some of you today may be experiencing something in your business or in your life, and it may seem a little shaky right now. He's not only a builder, He's a rebuilder. I believe you'll come back stronger than ever before. I want to pray over you before Pastor Eric and Natalie and Pam join me and ask God to bless you in your life in this season. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank You today for our church family and all of our friends that might be watching with us today. I thank You today that we can come before You in the mighty name that is above every other name, the name Jesus, and ask You by the power of that name to supply every need in each person's life. Let the peace of God permeate their home. Let the presence of the Holy Spirit be there to comfort them, I pray. And I pray that Your people will continue to walk in faith, knowing and believing we will rise above this and will become even stronger because You will take what is intended for evil, reverse it, and use it for good. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We thought it would be great for the four of us to sit down and just talk with you today in regard to the transition that we've been talking about, the transition in leadership. And we certainly wanted Eric and Natalie to have an opportunity to speak to you about their part in the journey and what this has looked like for them and how the Lord has led them and directed their steps to this place and how we believe He's going to continue to direct them as they lead the church. Pam and I, of course, know the story very well, but we felt our church family should hear some of this. We had planned to do it, obviously, live today at church, but since we couldn't be there today, we're here with you now. And so we're going to ask them to just open their hearts to you, and we're going to join with them and just chat with you if we could do that.
I was just been thinking over the past couple of weeks that really, Natalie and Eric, you were prepared for this time. You've been prepared for this time or been preparing all of your lives. You may not have realized it, but when thinking about your lives, and we've known Eric all of his life, we've not been close to him all of his life, but have known him all of his life, and he's third generation ministry. Natalie's fourth generation ministry, and so ministry is not new to you. Eric was raised in a pastor's home. Natalie was raised in a minister's home and lived on the foreign field. Eric has lived on the foreign field as well. And so God has just, every step of your life, even though you may not realize it, but as you look back on your life now, you can see that really God has been preparing you for this. Yeah. Ministry is not new. It's been a part of your life, all of your life. Yeah. Yeah. And so you've been prepared for this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can think back. Ministry was something I early on didn't want to do. You know, I wanted to go do other things, you know, because I'd seen my grandfather do it, my father do it. And early on, it was kind of like that. I don't want to do that. I'd rather go do other things. And, you know, I was living in the mission field, on the mission field in Scotland, and, you know, had some sports opportunities and other university opportunities. And I thought, that's what I want to do. But, you know, God had different plans. And I can remember I started helping out with a youth group, and they asked me, will you help lead our usher team? And I can remember at 18 years old, helping lead an usher team, taking up offerings, setting out chairs, doing all the same things our ushers do every week. And it was just through a process of just beginning to serve the church that the call of God began to grow in my heart. I can't say that it was a single moment of, or an epiphany that this is what I was supposed to do, but it was more of a growing as God began to speak into my heart that, wow, this is something that really, God, I want to serve you. And it's been incredible to see how God has used us in different seasons, where for a while we've done volunteer ministry. We were youth pastors. I remember one of our first youth pastors jobs, we actually were associate pastors as well at very early age, taking on large areas of the ministry, all the while feeling like, are you sure, God, you want to use us for this? Because, like, I don't know if we can do this, but, you know, God's just been faithful as He's shown us maybe the next step each time, never really the full picture, but just kind of here's the next step, you know?
Which is so true, because He never shows you everything all at once. I remember, Natalie, reluctantly, you became a youth pastor as a single woman before you and Eric ever met.
Very reluctantly.
Very reluctantly. We kind of had to push her into that, but that was for a short season of your life.
Yeah. But all those little things, I think, prepared us. I don't think we ever... I remember people asking us when we were first youth pastors when we were children.
we were like 22.
So young. And people being like, so it was the ultimate goal to become a senior pastor. And we always said, no, it's not that we didn't want to become senior pastors. It's just like, this is what we feel called to. We felt called to youth for such a long time. And we just felt like in every season, every place we were at, God just continued to lead us. And it just kind of kept evolving as we, you know, listened and obeyed. And now here we are.
In Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Talk a little bit
about
how you got here.
Yeah.
What the steps were, the process was, how God led you.
Yeah. Well, you know, in every area of our ministry, how God has kind of used us, it's honestly been to build. I remember our first youth pastor position, There were 10 kids in the youth group. And I remember the pastor challenged me, hey, get it to 100. And I thought, okay, well, let's go after it. So we just started hitting the schools and doing everything we could to invite kids. Mm-hmm. And in a matter of months, we had 100 kids in our youth group. And then God moved us on from there and moved us to Branson, Missouri, which there are teenagers in Branson, Missouri.
There are.
Everybody would always ask us. They would be like, there's teenagers in Branson? Yeah. We're like, there are, because those old people mm-hmm. have
And you
teenage.
Actually were yeah. in a theater.
Grandkids.
We were in a theater.
Your church.
And it was odd that it was, again, 10 kids in the youth group. And the pastor said, hey, we need you to reach the teenagers in our area. So
they started a building program for a youth facility pretty early on, right?
Yeah, we started to build a youth mm-hmm. center. And before long, there were 150, 200, 250 kids coming. And God just really began to bless it. And we, we were just trying to be faithful and love kids. I remember we used to throw Screamo concerts uh-huh. just to reach
What are
kids.
Screamo concerts?
Yeah.
Just explain
it's
that
It's a certain
to me.
Type of music where basically they scream and they're not singing.
Yeah, but
And it was
kids
very
came.
Popular in that area and at that time. And it was a way for us to get kids in the church, and familiar with the church.
But that saying this, we before Austin, we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. At Victory Church there, and it's a great church, vibrant church. It was actually your home church. Mm-hmm. And the church is thousands of people come on the weekend, and we were serving as executive pastors there over family ministries so from birth to 18. In January 2017, I had told Natalie, it was a New Year's Day service, and our pastor asked us, hey, what are you praying for? What are you believing for? 2017. And I just said, God, you're going to reveal the next step in our ministry this year. And I remember writing that down and I'm thinking, okay, sometime in 2017, God's going to tell us. And the reason I really asked that is, do you remember I would stay up late at night and I was Googling the mm-hmm. top 10 unchurched cities in America.
I think we both felt that stirring, like transition was mm-hmm. coming, not because we wanted to move or we were unhappy. It just, you start feeling that stirring a little bit. And I remember him coming to me and saying, hey, I wrote this down on our offering
prayer
envelope that had a spot for prayer requests. And our pastor had asked, write down what you're believing God for. And so he said, I'm believing God to show us the next step. And I, as a woman, I have my little nest, everything is fine. And I have my kids and my parents have moved to Austin, but they were coming back soon. That was what I thought. So I thought it's going to be so perfect when they get back and we're all going to be here. And so he came to me and he said, I'm believing God to show me what our next step is this year. And I privately told God, I was like, I do not want to live in limbo, not knowing like what's going on. And so I said, God, you need to show him before spring break. That was like,
I never knew that. I told God. I had no idea.
And you just bought a house.
We had just bought a house.
Remodeled it.
In September and done some updates and, making it our own and getting everything settled. And so I was like, I do not want to live a whole year in transition and with this feeling. And so I told God and he listened and
came through. It was, we were good. I was Googling because I felt a real need to go to a city or an area that was under-churched or de-churched. And I remember asking, what do you think about the Northeast? And you were like, no way. And then I was like, what do you think about like Seattle? No, I don't want to move to Seattle. What do you think about Scottsdale, Arizona? No, I'm not going to Scottsdale. And then on January 10th, so 9 days later after January 1st, our pastors called us into a meeting and said, hey, we want you to step out of youth and really oversee all the ministries of the church. And we thought, okay, this is it. God, you've mm-hmm. spoken for...
What was the date?
January 10th. So it was, they called us in, we went to step over all the ministries. And this is a church of, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people. And so for us, just on the surface as a career and and the church was doing a lot of things, it was exciting. We thought, okay, God, this is it. We didn't give the answer. Yeah. We said, let's pray about it because, we don't know. And it was the next day that you guys called. and you called on January 11th. You text us all, hey, do you have time for a conversation? We said, sure. And that's when you said, I want you guys to pray about coming to Austin. And initially, we were like, thanks, but no thanks. We had just bought a house.
Yeah.
The ministry was growing. And we had just received this offer the day before. But, you know, like we said, yeah, we'll pray about it. And I don't know if you remember, did we come down in March or?
Didn't you say?
Let me interject here that in that season, I knew we needed a next generation leader to come along beside us. And if you go back and listen to the message on March the 15th, I stated in there that I had a short list of young men that I knew had the call and the gift of God to be lead pastors. And Eric and Natalie were on the list, even though they were our kids. I knew the gifting was there. And it was on the morning of January 11th, early in the morning. I have it written in my journal, in there in my nightstand, that the Lord spoke to me real early in the morning about calling them. That was the day after January 10th, their experience. Yeah. So that's kind of the framework of all of it happening.
Yeah.
And then you told me you were going to call me. And at one point you said you felt like the Lord impressed you, don't tell your dad this yet, that day that happened. Well, if you remember that or not, but you told me that.
Yeah, I do remember that. I do remember that.
Because if Dad would have known that, he probably wouldn't have
I might not have called him. Yeah. I don't want to mess with that situation.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So I remember us saying, yeah, we'll pray about it. But in my mind, I've just bought a house. I'm not moving again. And they're going to move back to Tulsa.
How many of you guys know the Christian way to say no way is
we'll pray about it. Yeah, let's pray about it.
Right.
So we did the Christian thing and prayed about it, and God started stirring on Eric's heart. And it took me a while, honestly. I was like, I don't think I want to do that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that I felt like we weren't supposed to. I just didn't want to.
Yeah.
I didn't want to move, and I didn't want to uproot my family. And so he felt like we were still to continue praying about it, and we weren't supposed to say yes to the other, but we were supposed to keep praying. And we did for a couple weeks. Yeah.
A few weeks.
Well, and then it was a few, like a multiple weeks, 6 or 8 weeks that we actually visited. And so we were visiting Austin, and because Pastor Jim and Pam said, come down to visit, feel it out, feel the city, see what you think. I know I had preached here a couple times, but you know, when you're preaching somewhere, you're not thinking, can I move here? You're just thinking, hey, I want to come minister. And so in driving around, it was a really odd thing to, like, I felt it in my spirit.
Yeah, I think we were surprised by what we felt.
Yeah, and I told Natalie, I said, this is really morbid and maybe a little dark, but I was like, I feel like I'm going to die in Austin. I feel like I'm going to die
here.
Did
the Lord tell you when?
Well, according to COVID-19, not soon. It's not going to happen. But
if you say, I'm going to kill you right now.
But, you keep saying that, maybe this weekend.
But I felt like I'm gonna die in Austin. Now, I don't know God's plan. I can't say what the next 60, 70, or 80 years look like. You know, I'm kidding. but we really felt a connection to this city.
You're saying you can give your life to
it. Yeah, we really felt. And the crazy thing was, is as I began to research, as we began to talk about Austin, we discovered Austin's really underchurched. There's more people than there are churches to reach them. And Austin and the surrounding area is an area that needs the gospel. It needs the message of Jesus. You have in Austin, third generation distance between the last really believer. And so you've got grandkids and kids who have never heard the message of Jesus. They don't know anything about the Sunday school lessons or the Bible stories. And so when you talk about Moses, they're going, who are you talking about? In fact, I was talking to a kid the other day about Daniel. And he goes, he said, I know I'm named after a guy in the Bible, Daniel, but I don't know anything about it. He goes, have you never heard the story about Daniel in the lion's den? He's like, no. And I thought, I shared the gospel with him. And, you know, we're just thrilled to be here and excited, scared, you know. But
what scares you?
Everything.
I might interject that when I called them, I told them, don't even think about it unless you know God says to do it.
And you have to know without a doubt, a move of that nature. Yeah. You have to know. And unless you know, God said to make the move, stay with what you know He said to do. And of course, we have known this, that privately they felt God spoke to them. This is not a parent calling them. Mm-hmm. I know it can look that way. And I said recently, I said, you know, church is not a family business. However, it was God Himself who interjected into ministry the concept of, in the priesthood, if you read the Exodus and the Israelites coming out of Egypt and God establishing the tabernacle and the priesthood and the ministry, God said, Aaron and his sons. And so God interjected that idea, but it has to be the call of God. When it is the call of God, it can be a beautiful thing. Right. And that's what this is. It's not a family thing. Mm-hmm. We are staying here. Pam and I are not moving. We're not leaving. We're not selling our house. This is our church family. We're going to stay in a support role. But this, we know, is the plan of God.
Yeah. We're proud of you.
We're very proud of you. And, you know, I know that you have a lot of things going around, whirling ideas in your mind. And you're both very creative. And I can see where you guys so compliment one another for this stage of your life and this stage of ministry. And you just have a wonderful church family that love you guys and are going to be a great support to you. There's nothing to be concerned about or to fear. You got God, first of all, and God's leading you every step of the way. And I'm so grateful that one of the things I'm the most grateful for is that you let God lead your lives. You let the Holy Spirit lead your lives. And therefore, I know that you will... You know, you're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But you're going to know what steps to take because you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. And then you got a wonderful church family that loves you and going to be right by your side, holding up your arms and encouraging you. And you couldn't have a better church family. Yeah. And Victory City Church, you couldn't be in better hands than with Natalie and Eric. And I don't say that just because they're our kids, but just because I know that God has prepared them. God has called them for such a time as this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're excited. We know we have a great church family.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
I just want to say to you guys, honestly, thank you for leading our church well. I won't reference the scripture, but there's a story about how Moses used to go into the tent of meeting and meet and hear from God, and then would not give his interpretation of what God said, but here's what God said. And it says that Joshua, son of Nun, used to follow him into the tent of meeting and watch him hear from God. Now, Pastor Jim doesn't have a tent set up behind the church that he goes into.
He wants to put me in it.
But I've watched many times you guys meet with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And in staff meetings, in one-on-one meetings, strategy meetings, business meetings, we carry the presence of God with us. And you would reference back to that, and I kind of feel like I got to be Joshua and watch that, and watch as you would hear from the Lord. And it says in the scripture that Joshua then lingered, and it was almost like he was trying to learn how did Moses do this? How did he? Because it was later that Joshua was then going to take what Moses had done. And I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for you guys. You've led this church incredibly well. I'm going to be grateful for your many years of counsel as we, you know, humbly, fearfully, but also faith-filled, walk into this next season of what ministry looks like here in this area, what ministry looks like to the people of this area. And we're believing for generational change, for second, third, fourth generation people, families affected forever.
This transition is really for your children and for your grandchildren.
Right.
I'm grateful that you both not only heard from God, but that you obeyed the Lord. And when Pastor Eric was talking about Joshua and Moses, I just happened to be in my devotions right now reading through that segment of scripture. Actually, I'm in the book of Joshua. And then earlier, I spoke to you from a verse of scripture in the book of Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, the 4th verse, where I said, every house has a builder, the one who built everything is God. That whole segment of scripture is really about the faithfulness of Jesus. And as you can see here, this is my home Bible. This is the Bible to do my devotions in. And when he said that, I thought of what was on this page that I had written in there in my devotions. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, The key to leadership is faithfully serving. And that's what that is about in that passage of Scripture. If you want to be a leader, you have to serve. And I can say to you, Eric, I have watched you faithfully serve as you've come here. I've asked him to do some things that probably wasn't his comfort zone, but he's done it very faithfully. And as I said 2 weeks ago, it was about 11 months ago that I knew that he was supposed to be the next lead pastor of our church. And again, that's not just me, but all of those men that serve on our elder board are in unanimous agreement with it. They'll be speaking to you by way of video when we come back together. But I bless you for that. I know because you have served, you're going to lead well. And I feel that today we ought to close by praying as a church family, especially those of you who are in our church, that as Pastor Eric steps into this role now, effective now, that he's going to have the anointing of the Lord upon him, upon Natalie, upon their children, to protect them, and that by the Spirit he will lead them. That's a beautiful thing about that story of Moses, that yes, he was the leader, but he really wasn't. He just followed the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. When God said move, they moved. When he said stay still for a while, they stayed still. And he just executed the plan of the Lord. So be mindful, it is God who's the architect. It's God who's the planner. And yes, it's Jesus who is the builder. And he's going to continue it. Let's pray together. Can we do that? Father, I thank you today for your calling upon Pastor Eric and Natalie. To serve you in the role of pastor, the office of pastor. It is a God-appointed office. You gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints and for the perfecting of the ministry. I thank you, Lord God, that you will show them the steps to take in these next weeks, months, years, and even decades. And through their leadership, you will use the many wonderful people of Victory City Church to keep building the kingdom of God. We speak blessing over them. I speak blessing over our entire church family today in the name of Jesus. And I close by saying, may the Lord bless you and may he keep you and may he cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he be gracious to you and may he give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.